today it's actually the start of a short series on apparently bad girls of the Bible. Now, I mentioned that to my daughter and she said they were women, not girls. So whether they were girls or women, apparently we're going to hear a little bit about some of them. And since I get to go first, I picked Eve, since she was the first one. So, you know, she was our great, 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 et cetera, grandmother. Okay, so we're all related to her and to each other. And so we're going to think a little bit about Eve and who she was. Now, she wasn't born, okay? She was fashioned from a piece of Adam, and she was specially designed to be his helper. Now, that probably sounds like a subordinate role, but I assure you it wasn't at all, at least not before they sinned anyway. Eve was formed by God from a rib right beside Adam's heart, so they could be side by side as they carried out God's commission. Right back in Genesis, that's where the story is, verse 1, chapter 27. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Now that sounds really good, and dominion, you know, there are certain times when you really want to have dominion over fish, and especially if you're trying to catch some, I guess. And perhaps over animals, if you've got pets that are misbehaving, that would be really helpful. Or even perhaps insects. I mean, you know, I have worms that infest my feed over trees. Man, I'm looking for dominion over those worms. I do not. Yeah. Or even the blackbirds that like to eat all the fruit before I can get into them. It just doesn't seem to work for me quite the same as it did for Adam and Eve. But that was the authority that they were given, was to be the caretaker, the guardian. And he was, you know, he said, have children so that your descendants will live all over the earth, bring it under their control. So they had authority, responsibility, and blessing, a purpose. When God reviewed his creation, including Adam and Eve, he said, it is very good. And then God provided a garden for them to live in. Not a house, okay, no housework for Eve or Adam. It was a garden. I mean, how gorgeous is that? Hey, living in a garden. There were all kinds of beautiful trees there. Lots of lovely fruit. In the middle of the garden stood the tree of life, as well as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, two different trees. But it was an amazing place. There were rivers, there were plants with sweet perfumes, precious stones, gold. I tell you, it was amazing. Now, God's instructions were, you can eat the fruit of any tree in the garden except the one of the knowledge of good and evil. Must not eat the fruit of that tree. If you do, you'll surely die. Why on earth would God put a dangerous tree in the garden? You know, if you've got something dangerous around, don't you do your best to keep it secure so no one gets hurt? You know, fence around something. Basic health and safety. But, you know, God gave Adam and Eve free will, choice, so they could have a relationship with him by choice and not by compulsion. God always gives us a choice. He is totally committed to our free will. You know, one of the big questions that we often ask God is, why? Oh God, why did you let that happen? But he gave us free will. Our choices and the choices of other people cause events in our lives that are not always according to God's will. I mean, God's will is that all people everywhere would be saved. But that doesn't take away our right to choose. We have the right to choose. Now, Eve knew about God's instructions concerning the garden. Now, Eve was innocent. She had never sinned, and no one had ever sinned against her. She just didn't have any defects or flaws. I'm sure she was incredibly beautiful. If they didn't have clothes, they didn't need them. Without sin, there is no shame. Eve had nothing to be ashamed of. Now, I don't think it was very long before the serpent came calling. Now, I've brought my toy snake along to remind me. It's a bit of a sad expression snake, but this is just to remind me of the serpent, because the serpent plays a huge role in Eve's story. She's actually remembered most because of her interaction with the serpent. Okay, he was one of the animals. I don't know if you remember, but Adam helped God name all the animals. Now, that's not just thinking up clever names, but helping with characteristics. You know, the name somehow helps to define the nature of the animal. You just think about in the Old Testament, a person's name gave an indication of the kind of person they were. And so it wasn't just, you know, thinking Fido or Whiskers. It was actually naming them according to their characteristics and proclaiming destiny over the animals. The serpent wasn't just an ordinary animal, not the one that came into the garden. He was a spiritual being, an angel, appearing to Eve in the form of a serpent. And in the book of Revelation, that old serpent is clearly identified as the devil. And the serpent came along and spoke to Eve. Oh, hello, Eve. Now, his intentions towards Eve were not good. I think he was jealous of her. She was very beautiful. She was sinless. She was made in God's image. She was able to bear children and have a special relationship with God. She had Adam to be her partner. I mean, Eve was so blessed, and he wanted what Eve had. So he set out to steal it from her by trickery. Jesus says, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come, says Jesus, that they may have life and life more abundantly. That's just typical of the serpent, that he comes to steal. That's what the enemy does. Now, if the serpent came, you know, if a snake or any other animal came up to you or me and started asking us questions, we would be suspicious, wouldn't we? And rightly so. But at this point, there was no sin. Eve couldn't be suspicious. It wasn't in her pure nature. So she innocently starts chatting with the serpent. Okay, so God's instructions, let's review. Of every tree you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. In the day that you eat it, you shall die. So along comes the serpent to Eve, not to Adam. We'll just have a look in the scripture, chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. We'll see what happens. Okay, now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves." Wasn't sure quite that happened. I brought one with me. Okay. Maybe their fig leaves were a bit bigger than mine. Yeah, I'm sure she was very creative. Hmm. Now, Eve was deceived, but Adam wasn't. That's what Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 2. Okay? It was not Adam who was deceived, it was the woman who was deceived. Adam knew full well what he was doing. But the serpent first checked to see how well Eve knew what God had said. It was pretty good, but notice she added a bit. God hadn't actually said, don't touch, but don't eat. Eve was adding to God's command, something religion's been busy doing ever since. Now, when someone questions what God has said, don't rely on memory. Make sure you check it out carefully. Okay, the serpent said, if you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, this was a little bit true, but skewed. The serpent implied that she wasn't like God. Actually, it was the serpent that wasn't like God. Eve was already like God, as she had been made in his image. You know, it's really interesting that the devil used the same ploy of casting doubt on God's word when he came to tempt Jesus in the wilderness. After Jesus' baptism, the words of the Father must have been ringing in his ears, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then the devil came along, and what did he say? "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." Okay? The enemy likes to question what God has said. He questioned God's word, and he questioned Jesus' identity. Just like with Eve, the serpent questioned God's word and her identity as being in the image of God. Perhaps a bit of a theme going on there, eh? But if we know the word of God and we are confident of our identity in Christ, we can withstand many temptations. You know, it's no sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. He did not sin. In fact, if you overcome temptation, you're growing in your faith. That's a reason to rejoice. Don't feel bad because you're tempted. That's another ploy of the devil. Okay? When you're tempted, stand on God's word like Jesus did. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Eve, even though she was made in the image of God, didn't yet have the nature or character of God developed in her. She was sinless but immature. I don't think that she can actually have been in the garden for terribly long. Now, God is a God of love. What would love do when faced with him with temptation? Well, I guess love would run it past the significant others in her life. That might sound strange, but who does our choices, good and bad, impact the most? So a loving person, a loving Eve, would go to Adam and say, "Hey, Adam, here's an opportunity. I think I'd like some of that. What do you think?" And loving Adam would say, "Well, that looks appealing. I wonder if God would like to be part of us, part of this. Hey, God, are you around somewhere? Eve and I have heard this idea from the serpent. He's been telling us this interesting stuff. Hey, where did that serpent go? Oh, he just vanished, right?" A little bit of conversation, and that would have made a difference, but Eve didn't discuss it. Where was he? Well, he certainly wasn't far away, but far enough not to be part of the conversation, and she was deceived and made a very bad choice. Now, the thing about being deceived is that you don't know that you're deceived. That's why it's called deception. You fall for it, you know, fake spider, talking snake, phone scam, false promises. If I am deceived, I need help, and I don't even know I need it until, of course, the bad stuff starts happening, and then all of a sudden I feel this bad emotion, shame. Okay, when you've been deceived and all this bad stuff starts happening, shame really hits. You know, if you think that something sounds too good to be true or it's really questioning God's word, get advice from those you trust, quick, before it's too late. Yeah, Eve was tempted with something she already had, that she would be like God. And of course she wanted to be like God. He's wonderful. But the tree of knowledge that God specifically warned against actually made her less like God. God is holy without sin. And she and Adam together gave away the authority they had that God had given them. They had yielded the authority to the serpent as they disobeyed God. And the tree of knowledge they ate from was not the knowledge of God. It was knowledge apart from God. Now, I'm sure you know that God is clever. Okay, he created the universe, physics, astronomy, biology, geology, chemistry, maths, all part of God's realm. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil explores realms that are not of God: greed, fear, hate, envy, selfishness. Now, God is good. He has good intentions toward us. The serpent implied with his questions that Eve couldn't really trust God. God was keeping good stuff from her and deceiving her. He implied that God didn't tell the full truth. So, was God keeping anything from her? No. He kept nothing from her. She had the option to trust God or not trust. She had the option to act lovingly toward Adam or not. Eve doubted God when the serpent asked her the leading questions. But do you know that even though they both disobeyed God, Adam and Eve, they both doubted him, they both hid from him, it wasn't the end of the story. They were in the garden feeling this terrible feeling of shame, sewing these fig leaves together, and they heard God walking in the garden in the cool of the evening. If you've got a garden, that's a great time to be in it. God enjoyed the garden, and he enjoyed the company of Adam and Eve. Did God know that Adam and Eve had eaten the forbidden fruit? Well, I guess God is omniscient. He knows everything. I think sometimes in his knowing everything, he can choose not to know until we tell him. I mean, God knows everything about us, even the number of hairs on our heads. He knows our thoughts before we think them, and yet somehow he waits for our invitation that we would be known by him. David in Psalm 51 said, "Search me and try me, O God, see if there be any wicked way in me." So God calls out, "Adam, where are you?" Now, I don't think God was looking for information. Truly, I don't think Adam was that lost that God couldn't find him. What God was doing was offering the opportunity for him to be found again. His call was seeking to reestablish relationship after Adam and Eve had rejected him, because by rejecting God's word, they had rejected God and his purposes for them. And God took the initiative to heal the broken relationship. "Where are you?" So Adam replies, "I was afraid, so I hid." Afraid of God? His loving creator, who provided all things for him and was so good. Did you notice that even though Adam and Eve had sinned, God was right there protecting them, clothing them with something better than fig leaves, listening to them, and even with the consequences they brought upon themselves, giving them hope of a savior? It doesn't matter if you feel far away from God, or even if you're hiding from God, he is looking for you, calling, looking to grow your relationship with you, his relationship with you. He loves you. He desires the very best for you. Now, I'm sure you've been tempted to do things wrong, you know, to steal or gossip, to envy someone else, perhaps to be sexually joined with someone you're not married to be violent against someone. You may have yielded to the temptation like Eve did. Did you clearly hear the voice of the enemy tempting you? "Oh, you know, that would be a good thing to do. You should do that. You deserve it." Well, you can just as clearly hear the voice of the Lord calling you. The voice of the Lord saying, "Where are you? I'm looking for you." Let the Lord clothe you, not with animal skins like he clothed Adam and Eve, but with the robe of righteousness in Christ. He will tenderly take our guilt and our shame and deal with them at the cross. We have the freedom to choose. The Lord's hand is stretched out to us. He offers us love, forgiveness, life in place of death, joy in place of shame. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are such a good God, that you are so gracious. Lord, that even when we turn away from you, even when we listen to the enemy, even when we sin, Lord, that you are still calling and offering us your forgiveness, offering us your presence, Lord, offering us hope and salvation in you. Lord, help us to clearly hear your voice. Lord, to be able to focus on you, to close out the voice of the enemy trying to steal what we have, our amazing relationship with you. Lord, forgive us our sins. Forgive us our doubts, Lord, that when we doubt that you are good. And fill us, Lord, with faith and hope and trust in you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now,